Tumult in the Skies by Morgan. Read by Rhea 3 and 4. Not rated. Author chose not to use archive warnings. Fandom: The Wind Rises. Character: Hirokoshi Jiro. Written for Yuletide 2014. Au passant du ciel bleu, et tu la mort lui dis-je, ou bien et tu la vie. His fighter curves through the air above him, turning and wheeling, banking into a dive, and Jiro stares, transfixed. He can visualize every rivet, every panel, can almost feel the wind rushing past the wings. It dances on the air like a paper plane, like a falling petal, like a snowflake. The wind gusts in his face as the plane comes in to land, and he's caught by something else. Stands staring into space even as the pilot runs towards him, grinning, shouting something Jiro half hears, but that his mind doesn't quite register. In Jiro's mind, paper planes are dancing. He tries to keep out the image of a crumpled paper plane, crushed by the hand that reached to catch it. He fails. His fingers find the memory of paper, clean scissor-cut edges, sharp white folds. Naoko's smiling face, leaning over a balcony. Paper wings, dancing in the wind. Paper gliders always land, finally, in the mud.
战哭多辛鬼,愁阴独老翁,乱雪滴波木,积雪舞回风。 飘起尊无虑,露春火丝红,树洲消息断,愁作正书空。
Jiro holds a dog end in his mouth and strikes a match. The sudden flare of fire glints off the lenses of his glasses and then fades. He smokes, staring out the window into the dull December night. Streaks of sleet clot and slide down the window pane, while outside slush blurs into dirt. The clouds hang heavy. On the table, a cup of tea cools unnoticed. Jiro turns back to the newspaper on the table before him, reads the front page again, from top to bottom, starting with the date and the name of the paper. Safe territory. Asahi Shimbun, December 8, 1941. Down to the text below, as if perhaps this time it might say something different, as writing does in dreams. This is, unfortunately, no dream. Japan has embarked on a war it cannot hope to win. He should know. Oh, he has no doubt of the bravery of Japanese soldiers, sailors, pilots, and military strategy is not his business. But as much as men, modern warfare needs machines. And Jiro knows machines, and has known for years that however fast they run to catch up, and he is running with the best of them, he has watched his fighters soar, and they are beautiful and deadly, but they cannot hope to win against the United States and the British Empire both. A flash of memory, a German hangar, the looming bulk of a great metallic bomber. What did they need them for? To bomb the Americans. It was a joke, though even then a grim one. And now the joke is on them all. Jiro wants rather badly to go out, to find Honjo and get very, very drunk. He goes outside. The sleet is shifting to pouring rain, and by the time he remembers to put up his umbrella, his glasses are covered in it, his vision blurred by the droplets.
Demain vient alors le soir et la nuit.
79 of Jiro's Zeros flew at Pearl Harbor. Jiro dreams of paper planes fluttering in the updraft, just above the flying sparks of a blaze below. He knows his own planes too well, though, and the Navy's bombers, and the paper planes grow and shift before his eyes into their true shapes. The fighters spit fire, and destruction rips from the bombers. He cannot see anything below at first, but then ground begins to take form, and he has never been to Hawaii, but that is not Hawaii he is looking down on. Jiro wakes, sweating, goes to the window, and stares out into the dark for a long time before he can sleep again.
四季島の大和心を一とはば朝日に匂う山桜.
They're losing. Of course they're losing. Jiro has known from the very beginning that they would lose if they fought it out, and he was never the only one. He had hoped there was a plan he was unaware of, but it seems the only plan is to fight, and not to stop until there is victory or no one left to fight. It will be the latter. If they fight to the last ship, the last plane, the last man, it will not be enough. Before the war, they were racing to catch up. Jiro's whole life has been devoted to it, so he knows better than almost anyone, knows the constant nagging twist of feeling in the pit of his stomach that stirs every time he hears optimistic talk of the war effort, that even the best he has ever done has not been good enough. They are using his planes, his Zeros, as they have been since the beginning of the war, and they are not good enough to win this war. He is not good enough, was not good enough, says the dark voice that mutters in the back of his mind when the feeling of dread rises. They cannot win this war, and yet they keep trying, and the planes malfunction, and the planes are shot down, and the planes are perhaps as tired of this war as anyone, and they cannot beat the Americans on these terms, and they know it. Were there terms they could have won on? Was there something he could have built instead that would have kept them from this? All Jiro ever wanted to do was create something beautiful. His planes were beautiful once. The sight of them soaring through the blue was so beautiful he could barely stand it. Now they send young men out to die in fighter planes whose only means of winning a fight is to crash and burn. Pilots are sent to self-destruct and take the enemy with them, and they call that the spirit of Japan. They call that beautiful.
Umi yukaba mizutsuku shikabane. Yama yukaba kusanasu shikabane.
The sunset blazes in the west, the sky scorched red, tendrils of flaming clouds flickering across the purpling dome of sky. The light reflects off the surface of the sea, and he flies over a rippling ocean of fire in the gathering dark. Jiro soars. He is the pilot and the plane, a featherlight aluminum dart scraping the clouds, circling above the sea of flame. Below him, the tiny form of a ship cuts through the waves, trailing a golden wake. He circles, then dives. The wind rushes. The world narrows, and he is no longer the bird-like darting arrow, but the man inside that shell of fragile metal, eyes wide open, teeth gritted, plunging towards the surface of the ink-black ocean. Closer and closer he plummets, until he can see the faces of every man on the deck of the ship. He feels his own eyes blur and sting with tears. He opens his mouth in a silent scream. Is it silent, or is the world too loud for sound? The world dissolves in flame. Jiro starts awake, tears stinging in his eyes, and looks out the window, where the last fading glow of sunset still brushes the horizon like dying embers.
Umi kurete kamo no koe, honoka ni shiroshi.
They bring white boxes home, boxes of ashes, boxes of dust and air. They are white as untrodden snow, white as paper before the pencil touches it.
Rakuro no shiga no owara yoromu tomo, mukashi no hito ni matamo owameyamo.
There's your Zero fighter, Caproni says in the dream. And there are flights of them, flocks of them, soaring through the infinite blue of the sky. Jiro lifts a hand in salute, mirroring the pilot of the nearest plane. Airplanes are a beautiful dream, cursed dreams, waiting for the sky to swallow them up. Maybe there is no dream that is not somehow cursed, Jiro thinks, as Naoko fades into the sunlight, as the Zeros sweep endlessly through the infinite sky. White plains against blue sky, yellow skirts blowing in the green grass, all the colors of spring. But none of it has ever existed without blood and flame and the billowing smoke from burning wreckage. Red blood, yellow flames, black clouds, white wooden boxes. Maybe it's possible to create something beautiful that is simply beautiful. Or maybe, behind sublimity always lurks the specter of fire and death. Maybe one cannot exist without the other. Perhaps it would be better to stop reaching for it. But, to stop reaching, not to try and touch the sky, if it is inevitable to fall like Icarus and to drag hundreds, thousands, over 3,000 pilots and their blood is not on his hands, he will not think it, because that is too much of a weight to bear even for a moment. Down with him. but he is not sure he can do that, pull his eyes back from the sky, and continue to live. Darling, you must live. And why must he? Why must he when she didn't? When none of the men in those thousands upon thousands of planes did? The men are beyond view now, only the planes can be seen, tiny flecks of white, like snowflakes, falling upwards. He has no answers. He has only his life and his dreams, the white and the red and the infinite blue, blood and snow and fire and wings. And the great empty void of the future stretching before him. Jiro turns away from where he saw Naoko's umbrella roll, abandoned in the grass, from where the vapor trails of his fighters are melting into the blue. He takes a step down the hill, and then another. Behind him, nothing burns, nothing bleeds. There is only grass, and clouds, and plains, blowing in the sunny breeze. The wind gusts in his face, and he leans into the mounting gale as he walks away down the hill.
Il faut tenter de vivre.
The end. Thank you to Hana Nobira for recording the portions of Japanese poetry in this story, and also to the friend who assisted with the Chinese. I do not speak French and apologize for any horrible mispronunciations or inaccuracies. This was based off of the two songs I could find of those particular poems, so it's probably not very good. But thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed the story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this story's post.